Chariot Solutions TechCast for Friday, October 29th, 2010. Conference session recap, Spring 1, 2GX. The TechCast is brought to you by Chariot Solutions. From technology leadership to application project teams to mentoring and training, Chariot helps you deliver great software in open source, Java, and mobile platforms. For more information about Chariot, visit us on the web at www.chariotsolutions.com. Welcome to the TechCast. I'm your host, Ken Rimple. Today we have a recap of the Spring 1 2GX conference held last week in Chicago, Illinois. It was attended by our charioteers Gordon Dickens and Dimitri Skloot. I talked to them about a number of technologies, including Core Spring, Spring Source Tool Suite, Spring Integration, Rue, Grails, and more. Let's listen to the interview. Gordon Dickens and Dimitri Skloot, we are here to talk about Spring 1. Let's talk about what you saw. Can we step through just a few things first? Who went to the keynote with Rod Johnson?
I think everybody went. Everyone went right after dinner.
Okay.
You have no choice.
Right, right. You will be at the dinner, and you will be at the keynote. So what was that key? What was the kind of the tenor of the keynote? What did he talk about?
Well, apparently he didn't know what to talk about, and he started talking about his car, and he kind of didn't realize exactly where he wanted to take it.
Okay.
And then he kind of came up with, you know, it's all about productivity, it's all about the developer, and how make it easy and simpler, and so on and so on, that it's 10 years and more days. Apparently Spring is 10 years.
That's amazing, God. Yeah.
And
did it really start in 2001? 2000?
Well, he put the book out when? 2000?
Yeah,
and
I know.
He spent a year and a half writing it.
Wow, yeah. So, yeah, I guess so.
Well, maybe 2002, and he...
It's been a long time, anyway. Yeah.
Not sure when he wrote the whole framework, though.
It was more of kind of a retrospective and, you know, Spring is relevant, Spring is productivity, et cetera, that kind of thing.
Yeah, and especially with all the hoopla going on about Java EE6 and CDI and all that other, you don't need no damn Spring.
Right. Legacy frameworks.
That fantastic quote, yeah.
And
he says it's still relative, but it's not revolutionary anymore. I mean, it paved the way, and now we're going to provide a revolution in different areas. We will start doing things in areas that Spring hasn't had any presence previously.
At least the core framework.
Yeah.
It's, you know, it's going to continue to evolve, but so far, at least not in the short term, there's no like 2 to 3 kind of change coming in the short term.
Doesn't seem like it, unless they do a major refactoring within like an application context, being factory internals. It's all going to be incremental changes from now on. And even if you look at what they did from 2.0 to 2.5 and 2.5 to 3.0, you would see little bits of like annotation configuration being added, and then fuller fledged auto-wired being added, and support for add inject and code based configuration versus an XML configuration. They want to put a little bit in, get a feedback, get a requirements, and put more.
Right.
Kind of rounding out all the rough corners.
Mm-hmm.
And that will be the theme for the core framework going forward.
Mm-hmm. Gordon, you had something?
I went to the What's New in Spring 1 and Spring 3 1 and 3 2 session, and it was one of the first sessions on the first day. And it's basically, you know, some improvements of things that really needed to be added, like. You know, the environment configuration where you can actually specify your beans that will be deployed, you know, in production, development, QA, et cetera, that sort of thing. And some of the, you know, the additional support for the, you know, the standard JEE, JSR 299, was it web beans? It used to be called.
The container injection. Yeah.
Right. And so really it was a good, you know, just that sort of introduction for the 3.1 and beyond, and of course Spring Data Project, which is a big thing to support the NoSQL efforts that are out there.
Right. Yeah, we were talking about that a little bit before too. So no data, or sorry, Spring Data is a basically meant for no data store stuff, kind of like what JDBC template did. Is that the idea behind it?
I think so. I didn't get too much detail on the Spring Data's architecture itself, but they did demo. I did see Tom Risberg's demo on Spring Roo with supporting Neo4j, and how the project so far actually has. There's an add-on for Spring Roo that's in development that you can download, and there's also in the STS Eclipse project, you can actually visually model your Neo4j nodes.
Oh, that's cool.
So, yeah, it's a pretty nice little addition. So I'm looking forward to getting some time to tinker around with that.
Yeah, I see here that it's the website. It's springsource.org/spring-data, and they have Redis, of course, which isn't that the one they one of the ones they purchased? Is that right? Redis, the data source.
I think so.
Yeah, and then they have document-based with CouchDB and Mongo, graph with Neo4j. So that looks good. I also saw a Twitter stream entry that Graham Rocher was using Grails against Redis, like with GORM, which is their object-relational thing.
I did see that project out there. If you go to git.springsource.org, you can actually go through and see all the projects and get the code with Git. From there for all the projects and subprojects. And then if you go to git springsource.org/sandbox, there's some sandbox development. So if you go to, I think Chris Beams, which is CBeams,
yeah.
You go to his subnode under the sandbox, you can actually download the 3.1 and tinker around with that.
Oh,
very cool.
I
downloaded it, but I haven't had an opportunity to play with it yet.
Okay. Yeah, it looks like they went for Git in a big way, too.
Yes, that's basically their approach moving forward. They're moving away from Subversion as their primary repository and moving solely to Git.
So an interesting point about you brought up on Graham Rocher and Grails.
Mm-hmm.
That was a fairly mind-numbing experience watching the guy. He says, okay, here's the project. I'm using GORM.
Mm-hmm.
Let me uninstall the GORM plugin, install Redis plugin, and voila! Everything works.
Wow. Oh, wow. That's cool.
In STS. And it's just like, hey, let me redeploy, blah, blah, blah. Now it goes into Redis. Okay, let me start up a few more nodes. It's distributed. I'm like, oh, Drew, envy.
Yeah. No, that guy, I swear to God, I saw him when they first, what was the G21 conference back in 2008, I think it was. And he does the best demos. I mean, his demos are just, boom, quick, direct. So that must have been very good.
And they had about like 15 minutes on the stage.
I'm up, I'm down, and I deploy to the large scale NoSQL database. Well, there are a bunch of new projects out there, right? There's the Greenhouse project. That's a social media example. Is that what that is?
So, yeah, that's their. It's a code base that you can use for building social media apps. And I haven't delved into it too much, but it looks like, and hopefully it's expands on some of the new features of Spring Integration, which we can talk about in a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
With the Twitter support and XMPP and so forth.
Yeah, because right here I look at it and just the sub projects off of Git. That springsource.org/greenhouse. There's iPhone. I guess Greenhouse, which is a Spring web app,
right.
An Android client, and an HTML5 showcase. So that's cool.
Yep.
You can actually install the iPhone because that thing is already functional. Android wasn't functional at the conference. And it's pretty cool. You can get a list of sessions, drill down into the session, start tweeting, and it gives you the tags and the whole nine yards.
Neat.
But the biggest benefit probably is all of the templates around integration with Twitter, integration with LinkedIn.
The social templates,
Facebook. All of them implement authentication in a particular specified way. So most of them is OAuth, but one of them is version 1. The other is one version 1A, and there's a little bit tweaks in how you have to integrate with them. So what Spring Source did basically give you this template approach to integrate with everybody with a domain-specific API. Give me a list of friends.
Oh, that's awesome.
Tweet. Give me all the followers talking about the Twitter again and stuff like that. I mean, it's about the time.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's kind of good because you notice a lot of those projects were, they ended up being either PHP or Ruby projects or something because they had the people working on those APIs. But I mean, if there's a Facebook template or something that makes it easier for us to say, okay, we can do something in social media with Spring.
Especially if you have an existing Java website.
Yeah. It's, just want to add that feature too.
Yeah, you want to, you know, track with Facebook or something like that. You know, you just log in.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting stuff.
Right. So what else kind of blew your mind or was really interesting at the conference that you guys saw?
Yeah. Like the biggest thing probably is that the REST template is the new king for building any type of application or the MVC backbone.
Uh-huh.
So it's
this is the 3.1 version of Spring REST template or the 3.0?
They were using 3.0, I think.
Oh, okay. So they're just showing how good it is. It's like a Swiss Army knife.
Yeah. So where previously you would use something like Apache HTTP client,
right?
Now it's all REST template, and you can plug in response transformers of any kind, dig in into the response code, body of the response, transform from JSON to object, from XML to object. Insane stuff. Basically, an API-ish way to access external HTTP resources with ability to programmatically control the flow.
Right. Okay. But, so it was a client working session as opposed to a server-side session. Yeah.
You can do it on the server side.
Oh, sure. Yeah. You can make that server then call a RESTful call to something else. Yeah, that's true. Mm-hmm. But it was more the client API as opposed to
there's a lot REST of support. Stuff in the Spring MVC that, even though we're using it every day in three version, we just didn't realize that the hooks were in there.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
That MVC annotation config marker for your application context is extremely powerful. I mean, that hooks in and auto-configures a lot of features. I mean, JSR 303, the converters, the formatters, the validators, all those things are wired in. And again, an introspection into your class path. If you have Jota time in the class path, great. It registers Jota time converters. If you have JSON in the class path, great. It can auto format JSON data on the way out. So there's a lot of that that's very, very powerful in that one thing that was introduced in 3.0.
And the way it does, you can control that based on accept headers.
Right.
Right. Right.
And or mm-hmm. annotation, or you can create your own annotations which are annotated with their annotations.
Right. That's great stuff. There's a lot of really good stuff hiding in there. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, they focused on that in a couple of places where they talked about, you know, creating your own meta annotations so that you can abstract away from the Spring annotations in your own implementation. So you create your own annotations and then wire them with your own custom annotations. That way you one level away from Spring and your code only has your business annotations in it.
Huh, yeah. Now, they released, I guess, Spring Source Tool Suite 2.3.5 or 2.5?
2.5.
2.5. I get the versions wrong all the time. And so I know that has, from what we were talking to Mark Fisher about, it has support for Spring integration, like visualizing, right?
Yes, that's a major improvement. It actually uses the Hopewolf diagrams it's a standard EIP book that you can find at eaipatterns.com. And that book is, basically was the basis for enterprise integration patterns. And so they got permission to use those, and they created a visualization tool in Eclipse and STS where you can, when you have your Spring integration configuration, have a tool set to visually move your diagram, configure your integration paths and it actually looks at the namespaces to see which namespaces you're using. So if you're using JMS, then the JMS template objects show up. And if you're using HTTP, the HTTP objects show up, and so forth. So mm-hmm. it's pretty smart, and it's a really nice addition for that feature. Yeah.
And did 2.0, I guess they did a lot of releases around Spring 1, right? So did integration 2.0 launch during Spring 1, or is it almost out? Or
It was M7.
Okay.
When we went to Spring 1, I don't know if they bumped it.
Of course, I'm so lazy. I could have just typed springsource.org/spring-integration.
Yeah.
And the answer is milestone 7. Yeah.
So right. Milestone 7. But still, it's pretty powerful. I mean, the things that they showed when I saw Mark Fisher do some demonstration on working with the new features of Spring integration. Some really impressive things that they've added, like check-in and check-out. So you can, if you have a large payload of attachment that's going through with a message in the payload, you can check it into a JDBC repository as part of a configuration of your integration path, and then go through the process and then check it out only when you need it. That way you're not pushing the entire content of that, let's say, assume a file, around in the entire flow. So it makes the message a lot more lightweight.
Right, right.
So it's that whole claim check pattern.
Right, yeah.
So there's Spring integration is basically becoming the, at least in my toolbox, is my abstraction around external calls.
Mm.
So I don't, there is zero reason to write any code to interact with external system if you use Spring integration.
Yeah, because there's so many hooks and so many patterns to take advantage of. Yeah.
So basically incoming
adapter. Fantastic, yeah.
And outgoing adapter.
And you're done.
Or gateway if you need to.
Mm-hmm. The other thing I wanted to mention was, and it was kind of right around Spring 1, but they just released officially Spring Roo 1.1.0. And there's a nice blog post. In fact, it's the top blog post right now called The Big Hop Forward on blog.springsource.com. And man, did they add a lot of stuff. Like, man, we got to go back and update the book, Gordon.
yeah, there's a lot of work to be done.
Yeah, there is. Yeah. one of them is very interesting. I've been watching this one, and I just haven't really spent much time with it, but I've been looking at it, is the database reverse engineering plugin or add-on. Turns out that one is incremental. So if you do a reverse engineer, this is cool. You can go back and say, oh, synchronize back up with my data source. Oh, look, there's a new field. It adds it to your entity and scaffolds it.
Right, because there's an annotation that
butt kicking.
Like at Roo database driven or yeah. something like that. I forget the actual
annotation. Yeah.
But that's marked in your class so that it's totally aware of the database.
So, mm-hmm.
And that's really nice. I saw Stefan demo that. It was really impressive.
So that's cool. I've been working with the MVC enhancements. The original tag libraries are a little hairy. The newer ones are better. So the 1.1.0 tag libs are up. Which kind of simplifies everything from the developer's point of view. And then they did mention that they now have, for all these social media widgets and such, they've got like web MVC embed, which is a command in Roo, which will do YouTube, Google, Vimeo, Vidler, Screener, Ustream, Livestream, Picasa, Google Presentations. I'm just reading these off. Scribd, SlideShare, Google Maps, Google Wave. So you have any kind of things like that? You can just say from the Roo command line, oh, give me a view for that, and it will spit it out for you, and you can forward to that. Pretty sick. So that
Very nice.
I want to play with that, yeah. They also mentioned there's automatic REST support for any of your entities. So if you want to turn that on, you could do like JSON, the command against it, which would then go ahead and generate JSON aspects. And then you can directly do JSON against those objects that the controller is JSON aware. I just got the Google Web Toolkit stuff to work with 1.1.0.2. So I'm actually working on that part of the book. But they have this Google App Engine support where they'll actually, from Spring Roo, you can say GWT setup, and it will spit out the GWT part of a web application automatically as part of your Roo app. So now you'll have a full Google Web Toolkit. And what they did was they actually made the scaffolding work. So if you've got a one-to-many relationship between two entities, you'll actually get a generated scaffold for that, and it'll keep it up to date when you modify the entity.
Wow.
Yeah, kind of cool. And then I'm not done.
Okay.
Because I'm just amazed at all the stuff they put in here. The biggest thing, and I think this is where you're going to see it take off, they did in 1.1.0 convert it to using Felix as the backbone, which is an OSGI framework, as Dimitri well knows. And the reason they did that was because then they could patch in add-ons and things like that. So now they've got an add-on framework for it. And what is it on here? You could actually create add-ons, and it will give you a template to put them in Google Code for you automatically. And you can email them when you commit an add-on. You can email them telling where it lives, and then other people can find the add-ons later from the Roo shell. So that'll be like the beginning of, like their drive towards having user-contributed add-ons. Right now, the only ones that I saw out there were Hades, which was a ORM. It was a DAO creator, and the Roo 2 string or Roo equals add-on. But I'm suspecting we're going to see a lot more of those coming up.
Right, yeah, because the Surf one is way out of date. Yeah, mm-hmm. That one is still on 1.0.2.
And I'm sure the Flex one will go up there and all the other things. So
yep.
So they basically made it now where they don't necessarily host the add-ons, but they'll host them in Google Code. And then they just, you know, you email and say, you know, here's where my add-on is, and they add them to the list. So that's kind of cool. So there's a ton of stuff with Roo. If you were looking at Roo and you looked at it back in the 1.0 days, you definitely want to take another look at it. And they did significant changes to that.
Yeah, it's dramatically improved since 1.0.
Yeah.
Dramatic.
Yeah. So
I found the features for integration if we want to hop back into that space.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's why I gave you a break from it.
Thank you. We were talked a little bit about the control bus, and that gives you the configuration in Spring integration for JMX metrics and MBeans management, or you know, monitoring in your application.
Mm-hmm.
There's the Spring expression language support now that's going to be included. So previously, if you wrote a router, which is nothing more than an if-then statement or a filter, you can now just put that in your Spring expression language in config, so you don't have to build a class that just has an if statement in it to route a message. You can just configure it. So that's really, really significant, because I don't have to compile something to route messages, filter messages, or split messages.
So for simple things or scriptable things, you can do just in the XML.
Right. Yeah. So that's a really nice feature just to simplify even further, because one of the huge benefits of Spring integration is that you can configure a message path and go back at some point later, rewire your message path and include a filter or some transformer or something of that sort without having to recompile your code. As long as you're not introducing new classes, then you just
start up again.
Configure the wiring. And that's really a nice, a huge benefit of using Spring integration in XML config. Then they've added also a bunch of new transformers for you in Spring integration that will do object to map, map to object, object to JSON, and vice versa. So there's a few of those that are out that can wire in. I don't recall exactly what demos were there, but Mark was pointing those out, and he talked about the new BPM solution, and we alluded to this in the previous podcast with Mark Fisher about activity.org. That's activity with an I.
Right.
And that's a BPM solution. And there's a couple of projects out there in the Git repository, one for integration and one for Core Spring on this activity project. So there's some, or maybe it was Grails, I forget. Mm-hmm. But there's definitely some work in all the camps that with this activity BPM solution. And they're coming with JMS back channels. So that will encroach on projects like Mule or Service Mix. You know, you have a JMS back channel. Now you can actually back the channels and have persistent channels in Spring integration. Yeah,
that's
so
pretty handy too.
A lot of stuff, and you know, of course, their RabbitMQ,
they needed that,
AMQP, so forth, and more Groovy scripting support as well. So Spring integration will allow you to do Groovy scripting.
Yeah, AMQP was another big area. It was
because they purchased that late last year or mid this year, right? I think they are sometime relatively recently anyway.
Yeah, within last year, yeah.
Yeah.
And it's fully integrated with all the adapters, Groovy, Shmooly, Java, Bully.
Closure.
Is there a Shmooly and a Bully language? I don't know.
I'm pretty
I just
sure
downloaded
there is
that.
One.
Wait a minute.
Yeah. Gordon, Dimitri's writing it right now.
Oh, right.
He's done. Okay. Yeah. Oh, that's really cool. It's almost like there's too much to catch up on because, you know, there's so many different things that went on during Spring 1. You know, just a lot of releases at the same time. So.
Yeah, and everything is about the cloud.
Yeah. Massive scalability possibilities, that kind of thing.
So an interesting announcement was the code to cloud. In essence, you want to set up the project, press a button, you have a repository, you have a Hudson build setup, you have a Bugzilla instance with a nice UI.
Is that part of is that an STS plugin?
It's part of the STS too.
Okay, built into it. Yeah.
So it's like test up and Spring Source plus VMware. So it's a one button project setup.
Now are they doing, is that out yet? Are they?
No, it's not, but they showed the stuff.
It's sometime early next year or something, right? Okay.
You can sign up as a developer preview.
So this will be similar to like hosting in an EC2 type environment, except that they would pre-configure everything for you, or more like a...
It takes all the pain of configuring...
the project management, everything, right?
Yeah,
right?
All of the so-called ALM-based software.
Mm-hmm.
PLM, project lifecycle
right,
management.
Right, right. Well, you mentioned Hudson, for example. Yeah.
So it's Git repository, Hudson finished building, deploy to Spring Insight or whatever your deployment platform to validate the installation, and you can hit it right away. So it's plus they it's test up.
No, I know, because I see even in STS on the tabs, the config tabs, it's like, you know, you can add these task top features. So so they're working with them for the push to cloud. Okay, cool, cool. So
take the pain out of the project setup.
So were there any good parties or events there? Was it more all business this time?
It was supposed to be in the center city, and because of the disagreement between the unions, the hotel wasn't finished in time, so they pushed it into suburbia. It was a beautiful view to a strip mall from the hotel, and it was
in Target,
and Target right next door. So if you need the bullseye, it's right over there. But they brought three buses and bused anybody who wanted to go in the center city into the boozing district. And it ended up being a late night for some people.
A lot of bleary eyes the last day of
Sure. Well, gentlemen, thanks so much. Dimitri Skloot and Gordon Dickens, thanks for covering Spring One with us.
Excellent. Thank you so much.
Thanks.
Thanks.
Thanks to Gordon Dickens and Dimitri Skloot for taking time out to talk about Spring One 2GX with us this week. Chariot Solutions is a SpringSource education services and consulting partner. Check our training schedule on the web at chariotsolutions.com/education. We have SpringSource authorized courses in Core Spring, Rich Web, Enterprise Integration, and Hibernate coming up in the next few months, so give it a look today. Chariot is also hiring talented developers with a background in open source Java, Spring, Hibernate, Rails, and mobile application development. For more information or to apply for an interview, visit chariotsolutions.com and click on the careers link under the About Us menu. Our podcast theme is Free Theme Number 3 and Free Theme Number 4 from podcastthemes.com. Podcast is produced by yours truly. You can send us feedback on Twitter at @TechCast. For the TechCast, I'm Ken Rimple.